Hey everybody, it's the Nobody Likes Casey McClain podcast. This is Casey McClain. This episode, no guest, short episode. If you like these, by the way, every week I do one of these at my Substack. Is it caseymcclain.substack.com? Something like that. Might be called Nobody Likes Casey McClain, who knows? But it's every week I talk about some shit that's... Easily my most controversial takes on shit are there because I feel there's some safety in telling stuff to people who like me enough to pay to listen to what I have to say. So you don't have to do that, by the way. Absolutely. Don't worry about it. Whatever. Don't go there if you're fucking sensitive is what I'm saying, because I might think some things that you don't like sometimes, which is okay. It's okay. It's normally okay. It does seem, you know, I will say I was pretty skeptical of this, what do you call them? The, like, January 6th committee. I guess my, first off, I don't know. People act shitty in an organized way. I didn't think they were going to be able to. I'm like surprised at how much stuff and how many people they've been able to flip on Donald Trump. I'm trying to write a joke about this, but I think that Donald Trump is bad. And I think that, he's bad. I think that the people who are like, I'm a proud Biden-Harris supporter, like, they're not good. It's been interesting to me to see, like, the Nancy Pelosi to me represents so much of what's wrong with politics. And she's not the only one. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to make it out like there's not Republicans with the exact same problem. Nancy Pelosi, someone to me who's interesting because she is like kind of a, she's like kind of in the, what would it be like? What am I trying to describe? Like, she's kind of in the landslide of what's falling off of acceptable left-wing politics. Like, she's super wealthy, very obviously taking advantage of her position to grow her wealth. She's 80 fucking years old. She's got these, like, super divisive tactics, and I think she stinks. I think the lady fucking sucks. And I think, again, Mitch McConnell sucks. This thing where you go like, well, she sucks. What, do you love Mitch McConnell? No, fucking he sucks too. They all suck. Most of them suck. Almost all of them suck. So this thing where you're like, I'm a proud so-and-so. Fuck that person. That's the bit, basically. It's not quite that. There's a little bit of joke in it, but it's like, that's what I'm worried about, is that it's not funny enough. It's just me being like, fuck that person. I remember when I was in college, I used to know a lot of people who'd be like, yeah, it's just like voting for the lesser of two evils. And I kind of like thought that was stupid back then, because I thought that the evils were like, there was a bigger gap between the evils than they thought. I think I'm closer to that view now. And also, like, so anyway, the having a disagreeing opinion, it's getting harder and harder to proudly defend Kanye West as my rightful president, I gotta say. So this is the, as I understand it, the controversy around Kanye right now. Is he went on Tucker Carlson and spouted a bunch of, I was listening to, I listened to this podcast called Bad Faith with Breonna Joy Gray, who's, I think, like, probably a self-described leftist, but I think is, like, pretty fair. I don't really care if I agree with someone all the time to listen to him. That's actually, like, a thing that I'm pretty annoyed that we get fed this news that agrees with that confirms our priors instead of challenging us. I disagree with her on stuff quite a bit, but I think she's like, I trust her. I think she's being honest. I feel that way about the Breaking Points podcast, which is like a daily news thing also. I listen to like a pretty large, I guess nothing's like truly right wing and nothing's truly left wing. I like stuff that's like right in the middle. But I think examines both sides. I don't need to go into a list. This is not good pod to just list a bunch of other podcasts you could be listening to. More informed people talk about these same topics. But so Kanye West went on Tucker Carlson and talked about this thing that I find interesting. Not that I think it like should drive policy necessarily, but I think it is like a way of looking at the like abortion debate that I don't think most people are considering. But I don't think that it's like this definitely should be on the Substack, by the way. This is like truly Substack, my Substack's purpose is so that I can say shit like this and not get canceled for it. When you talk about the like Roe versus Wade debate, I think a lot of times people take for granted that everybody that they agree with or at least are trying to support agree with them. In polling, black people have been more pro-choice, despite being more religious, by the way, on average, than white Democrats. They've also, by the way, like, and this is the thing is like black people have in polling been traditionally less in favor of gay marriage. Like this, I saw this thing where I might've talked about this on the last Substack episode, but it was like, a person goes, the Ukrainians are just such good people. They're just all such good people, and it's such a shame that Russia's doing this. Something like that on Twitter. Just a classic, like, grandma, like, uninformed grandma take on Ukraine, where she's got to bring it down to, like, the communities inside of her local church. That's how she's got to break these, like, geopolitical powers down. And, I mean, no group of people is so good and so gentle and so nice. Like, that's just not, like, groups of people are not monoliths. None of them are. But also, like, this is coming off the heels of the Ukrainian government being the most likely, and I think pretty, like, the U.S. government has agreed this is the most likely perpetrators of an assassination of a civilian in Russia, a politician's daughter. Like, not good. Maybe it wasn't on the heels. Maybe it was on the toes. Maybe that happened after, but it's like, or whatever. Coming on the heels sounds like a very specific porn search. Anyway, so what I heard on this podcast was her guest, Breonna Joy Gray's guest, who I can't remember her name, but she's a defense attorney who also advocates for a lot of like criminal justice reform and police reform and stuff like that. She was talking about how these things Kanye West was saying, which was that basically because abortion disproportionately affects black lives in his mind, I'm not going to get into the what is and is not a life argument, but that this a disproportionate chunk of abortions are performed on black moms. And this is like reducing the black population, blah, 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 blah. So I think that Kanye's point is interesting, though I don't think it's his original point, which I know now because I listened to this woman on Breonna Joy Gray's podcast. God, I should fucking find, let me find this woman's name because this is, I'm just like praising her and then I'm going to like slightly disagree with her take and then just never even mention her name. Hold on. Bad Faith Podcast. It's Oluyemi Aluren, I believe is the pronunciation. So she said that this is like a classic white supremacist talking point, meaning white supremacists use this to justify this take as not being racist. Like that it's it would be racist to that abortion is racist, basically, is the idea. Now, I think the other like the thing that there's always shit that gets lost in these discussions, right? Which is like, fuck, this really should be on Substack. What am I doing? There's like a thing, like there's no doubt that were it not for abortion, based on abortion rates, whatever, there's no doubt. There's little doubt that black people would be a larger percentage of the U.S. population than they are now. Kanye said in the interview, the portion that they played on this, that there are more black abortions than black deaths in New York City. I don't know if that's true. Did zero research. Let's operate under the presumption it's true. That's staggering. And also, like, if you're a Democrat and you hear that, I think, like, because it's got to be that, like black people and Mormons are the most loyal voting blocks historically. Black people vote, like, overwhelmingly Democrat. It's, like, over 90% Democrat. And which is like they'll tell you that the number like, oh, there's more people of color voting for Donald Trump. There's more black people voting for Donald Trump. It's like still not a very large portion like that. He may have gotten a larger portion of the black vote than Mitt Romney or John McCain, but it's still not very many people comparatively. And like not anywhere close to half. And so it's got to be like Mormons and Republicans, right? Like Mormons have to be the most loyal Republicans, I would guess. Anyway, so there would be, if you're a Democrat, like if you believe that those numbers would hold and maybe even grow, because, and we'll get into this in a second, but if you thought they would grow or stay the same, you'd have like a larger percentage of the country that votes Democrat eventually. And this is like a thing that I think people have on the right have been worried about also, is like these growing populations oftentimes are predominantly vote Democrat, or like culturally vote Democrat. And that's whatever it is. I mean, obviously nobody's making that actual argument, but I could see where that is an argument. The woman on Oleyemi. Is that right? I just looked it up. Oleyemi. Alluren. Made a decent point, which is like, why would these people start caring about, like, all of a sudden they care about this? Like, there's all this talk about not losing your culture and not losing the fabric of your neighborhood and all that stuff. And keeping America American and all this like kind of whatever dog whistly stuff. Why would they start caring about increasing black populations now on this one issue? And that's a good point. Fair point. I do think like, where I fall on a lot of this stuff is like, I do think it's like an acceptable, my Overton window for what's an acceptable opinion, what allows somebody to remain a part of decent society, includes people who are pro-life. And so, but we also, by the way, we can't, it's like, you gotta stop ignoring when you have these discussions. Like, I think we should talk about that type of stuff, the stuff that's like, these are the negative impacts by some people's measure. These are the negative impacts. Also, having a kid fucks you economically. I can speak from personal recent experience. Having a kid fucks you economically, and so how much worse even would black people be doing socioeconomically if it were not for a legal abortion? Because there's no doubt that abortion and birth control have helped women narrow the wage and education gaps to the point where, by the way, like the wage gap, oh man, another, we got to be getting a Substack thing. We got to be on Substack. I should just end it here and move the rest to Substack. Wage gap, misrepresented by like the most dire numbers, but still exists. Just like you'll hear people say it doesn't exist. It still exists. It's gotten a lot closer though since the 50s and 60s. And a lot of that is because of Roe versus Wade, birth control, etc. Women not having kids puts them in a better economic position. People not having kids puts them in a better economic position. Real estate brokers, we'll talk about, they call them dinks, which feels to me like that's got to be somebody's racial slur, but dual income, no kids. These are like the perfect home buyers. It's tough on you to have a kid financially. Anyway, so yeah, we got to talk about that too. Why did I get to this point? Oh, because Kanye then was... Kanye goes on, it's like a fashion show, and he's wearing a White Lives Matter shirt, which is just like, the guy is trolling, first off. He's like a perfect exploiter of media bias. He knows what this is going to, he had a fucking Confederate flag, he had Confederate flag merch a couple years ago. This dude is a master at manipulating the media into covering him, basically. Or he is an insane person, which is also possible. But I think the dude is like truly talented at stirring up controversy for his benefit. I am like, the White Lives Matter shirt is like, it's provocative. It's like not even worth commenting on, in my opinion. Again, it's like, this is the thing that he was going for. This is Ozzy Osbourne biting the head off of a bat, or fucking, if you believe in the conspiracy, this is Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson. This is something that is like the closest we get to like a monocultural event is something like this. And he knows this, and he has the platform to do it. And he can keep growing that platform and keeping himself in the news and keeping himself relevant through these, like, you know, insane stunts. And then he went to social media. So he got a lot of praise from right-wing folks. And then he went to social media and said, God, what was the tweet? I might be able to, I don't know if I follow Kanye on. He's got a real Trump quality where it's like you feel a little bit bad. Oh, come on, Kanye. Kanye Jews. That's how you get there. Okay. So oh, this is funny. Where's this tweet? Let's see his tweet. Where's your tweet? It's the fucking responses to this tweet are so crazy. Go and type in Kanye Jews into your Twitter search bar and just enjoy. It says, I'm a bit sleepy tonight, but when I wake up, I'm going Death Con. DEATH con 3 on Jewish people. The funny thing is, I actually can't be anti-Semitic because black people are actually Jew also. You guys have toyed with me and tried to blackball anyone, whoever opposes your agenda. Now, any argument that this is not anti-Semitic, that this tweet is not anti-Semitic, is a little wild. You could argue that Kanye isn't an anti-Semite, like the way that I think you could tell a racist joke and not be a racist, because funny doesn't always align with your like actual values and beliefs. And if it does, I think you're probably a boring comedian if that's what you're trying to be. So Kanye, he says that it's like pretty, so then people have to walk back. These like right-wing folks, these like Israel supporters have to walk back their support of him. It is like, honestly, one of the, that Bad Faith podcast, one of the things they talked about that I agree with quite a bit is that the right does like to grab these, like, it's like, what is it called? Like the power of the bias of the unexpected source or something like that. Let's see. It might be called like the power of the unexpected source or something like that, but it's like basically the value in social currency of being a person who demographically isn't expected to feel a specific way and does feel that way. It's the reason why Candace Owens, who I don't think is particularly talented, I do think like she's attractive and young and very like charismatic and whatnot, but I don't think she possesses like a specifically incredible knowledge of anything that makes her like an expert. She's like young and doesn't have, I think, a lot of political involvement in her past. Like her trajectory to pundit, like right-wing pundit, is basically she's a person who you would expect demographically to have a very left-wing view and does not, has a very right-wing view and is willing to entertain nearly every controversy and conspiracy theory for like towards like truly biased towards the right. Like no, there's no objective. Candace Owens doesn't have an objective bone in her body. So the conceit, the interpretation of this that I agree with, by the way, from that Bad Faith podcast, is that the right wing uses these black folks that have these like counterculture opinions, no matter how like well informed they are, to justify white racism. Because I think there's a segment of, let me rephrase that, to not justify white racism, but to, what's the word I'm thinking of? Like apologize for, to, maybe justify is the right word. It's for people to be able to justify their opinions as something other than racist, where I think that there's maybe like a new nuanced thought experiment to be done on the stuff that Kanye is saying. But I think that a lot of people that hold those views, that white lives matter and that the Confederate flag should be on merchandise and that abortion should be illegal and that abortion is racist against black people and all that, are like actually racist. So when you can find an unexpected person to prop up, that person, maybe that represents 0.1% of the actual population, but in terms of like, what does Kanye represent in political and social media and pop culture discourse? Like a fucking huge chunk of it. So now for a lot of people, especially people that want to confirm their priors, Kanye becomes, well, that dude feels that way, so it's cool if I feel that way. That means I'm not a racist. So anyway, how much further do we want to go on that? Probably not at all. I think ultimately, Kanye's like, also the, like, it's weird. The black Hebrew Israelites are really putting liberals in a tough spot because it's like, when we get into identity politics, you're like, fuck, which side are these guys on? Like, very conservative views, these, like, kind of anti a lot of stuff that liberals believe in. What else did I want to talk about? I had a couple things on a list. Why did I start with this one? I should have started on one that was a little less dicey. Oh, the Mariners. I should have talked about the Mariners to start. That's the only other thing I want to talk about. I got to tell you, as a comedian, I can find a silver. The Mariners are down 0-2 as I record this. Maybe you'll listen to it after the weekend series. And so Maybe they will have lost. I know they won't have won by the end of the weekend part of the series. They're playing in Seattle on Saturday and Sunday. The Seahawks moved their Sunday game to 2:30 to stagger out, like, I guess, so that people can watch the end of the Mariners game and the end of the Seahawks game. I will be interested to see, because that game is in Seattle, how much of the, like, how many people are about to go have the best sporting day of their life where they go watch. I mean, maybe it'll be pretty bad, actually, but on Sunday, if the Mariners make it there, to go, and the first playoff game in T-Mobile Park, previously Safeco Field since 2001, like 20 years. Those tickets are fucking crazy, by the way. I was considering going, and it's like $300 to get 300 level seats. And when the Houston games, it's like $40-$50 to get a ticket to those games. Anyway, I guess, like, the idea is if they end the game at 2:30, the TV viewership can switch over. But I wonder how many people are actually going to be, because those stadiums, if you're not from Seattle, are like right across the street from each other. So you can very easily jump from one to the other. And that would be, that's a fucking incredible sports day. I will say, as a comedian, there's a silver lining to the Mariners being out of the playoffs, which is that I don't have to worry about, one, well, that gig is on a what would be a game day, so we're going to be fucked. No one's going to show up. No one's going to be paying attention. I'm going to miss the game is another part of it. That is the silver lining. So if the Mariners do lose, you can feel good that it'll make my life a little bit easier in a specific way. Okay, thecaseymclay.com, all social media, Road Hacks on YouTube. Please go check that out. The last episode hit the algorithm a little bit, got a couple hundred views. We're going to keep growing that bad boy. Last episode's called Four Comics, One Cup. Me, Steve Johnson, Charles Hall, Jess Everett. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Tell your friends, loved ones, coworkers. Bye.